Hello, everyone. Happy New Year. Welcome, and thank you for joining with me today. I apologize for my voice. It might degrade a little bit through this 30 or so minutes we're going to have together. I want to let you know I'm feeling fine, but I'm on the back end of really what amounted to a really bad cold. So, we are back in the book of Acts. This is our 10th installment, and I've planned our journey out now through the end of the book of Acts, through its completion, and I'm estimating that we're going to finish up the book of Acts, leaving Paul in house arrest in Rome sometimes in early June. So, we left off back in November at the end of Paul's second missionary journey, and as you might expect, we are now moving into the third great missionary journey. I'm calling this series One More From the Road. Now, a lot of people, many scholars believe that Paul took a fourth missionary journey, but what we're about to go into is the last that we have recorded here in the book of Acts. Now, we are going to see Paul take one fourth and final journey, but it will be of a different nature, as we will see. Now, so today, as it's been 8 weeks since we left Paul back in Antioch, so what I want to do is bring us up to speed on where we've been so far, where we are going through the rest of Luke's history, and very importantly, why we are here, or why we are taking this journey through the book of Acts in the first place. So that's what we're going to do today. But before we begin, guys, get your Bibles, pull up the outline, access the notes that I have online. The link's right below the video here. There's lots of information in it for you today. Strap in, put your seats in their full and upright position, and we will launch. For today is Sunday, January the 9th, 2022. I'm Pastor Ethan. This is Trinity Online. And once again, thank you for joining with me. Okay, are we ready to go? Friends, if you have been tracking with me through this entire journey through the book of Acts, you may remember that we began back during the original COVID lockdown in the spring of 2020, specifically on Sunday, April the 26th of 2020. That was our first message. Like, man, it's closing in on 2 years ago now. But back when we started, we began with a very important question. The question was, why do this anyway? Why are we taking this journey? Why go to the time and effort to dig this deep into the history of Christianity's first generation? And just as we did then, with this in mind, I want us to go to the very beginning of the journey. And it's the opening passage, the opening 10 verses of Acts chapter 1. Luke the historian tells us this. And he says, in my former book, Theophilus, if you remember, Theophilus is the person, probably the patron, who provided the means for Luke to be able to write this history. So this entire big book is really like a personal letter. He says, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles that he had chosen. And after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And now when they gathered around him, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Right? At this point, they still, even after the cross here, after the resurrection, they're still thinking of Jesus' mission in terms of a restored earthly kingdom of Israel. And so Jesus says to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Okay. Church, one reason we are on this journey through Acts is because this mission given to the apostles by Jesus to be witnesses to the good news, right, of everything that Christ did, who he is, and what it means to be able to enter into a relationship with God through faith in Christ, to be witnesses to the good news of the gospel, That was the mission that Jesus gave those original apostles. And church, this is the mission that we still have today. You know, Acts has 28 chapters. And in a very real way, we live in Acts chapter 29 as God continues this story through us. And part of appreciating on a much deeper level the story that we are in today is by understanding how our story began. But continuing on in verse 9, here we go. Luke tells us this, that after Jesus said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from their sight. And while they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way that you have seen him go into heaven." Friends, this is such an incredible image. Right here at the beginning of the story, these angels proclaim how it will end, that Christ will return. But until then, don't just stand around looking up. I mean, that was their message. Why are you just standing here looking up? Christ is coming back. But right now, he is about to launch a project called the church. And he's sending the very presence of Christ to you through the Holy Spirit, who will be with you always. Friends, just as this same Holy Spirit is with us today, he is speaking to us today, still saying, don't just stand around looking up. God's work continues still, and he is doing this work through you and through me, people just like us, through all believers, through his church. And so from that perspective, Acts is this amazing gift because it tells us the story of how the church began. This is our origin story, and it is a journey worth taking. So that said, I'm going to walk us through now where we have been and where we are going using the framework of a timeline. And hopefully, my hope here is that this will help us grasp the big picture of how this story unfolded. I mean, there's so much here, so many stories that we have really looked at very, very, very closely and unpacked and examined the meaning and what it says to us and what was happening then. So for just today, we'll jump into the third missionary journey next week. But today, I'm going to walk us through the entire book of Acts from a timeline perspective, pointing out where we are in the story right now to help us just get an overall understanding, again, of where we've been and where we are going. And if we think of the book of Acts as a play, the curtain comes up, scene one, with Jesus' ascension, and it is the year A.D. 30. At least I'm going with AD 30. There's a little bit of debate between AD 30, AD 33, depending on where you date Christ's birth. We're going with AD 30. So scene one is the years AD 30 through 34, about the first 4 years of the church. This covers the first 8 chapters of the book of Acts. And what we see happen here, big ideas. We see, of course, Jesus' ascension, Pentecost, and the birth of the way. It wasn't even called the church yet at this point. It's just this community, expanding community of believers in the city of Jerusalem. We see the growth of this community in Jerusalem, but still contained pretty much in Jerusalem at this point. We also see here the onset of persecution, leading to, ultimately, Paul's persecution. And that leads us into scene two. Now, this is about the next 4 to 5 years, AD 35 through 89, roughly. And this is where the gospel opens to the Gentiles. And this is chapters 9 and 10 in the book of Acts. So here we have Paul's conversion. Paul going to Damascus. He's in Damascus for a while. He goes into Arabia. He comes back to Damascus, then to Jerusalem. Then we see Paul take refuge in Syria and Cilicia. Cilicia is the country where his home city of Tarsus is located. We see here also in this second scene, this AD 35 to 39, the Jerusalem church expand outside of Jerusalem into Israel, really primarily heading north. We also see Peter's ministry here leading up to the close of scene two, which is the conversion of Cornelius. Peter's vision, his time with Cornelius, and the conversion of Cornelius, who, of course, was a Roman general living in the city of Caesarea. That leads us into scene three, the next big section. This is AD 40 to 45, about another 5 years now. So we're almost already closing in on 15 years. And this is where we see the gospel expand beyond Israel. And this is chapters 11 and 12 in the book. Some things that we see here. Peter defends the gospel going to the Gentiles. Because initially, when that happened, there was a little bit of pushback from the leadership of the church in Jerusalem. We see the gospel spread into North Africa and then north from Israel into Syria. Paul and Barnabas get together in Antioch, and the church in Antioch is born and begins to grow. And we see here that believers were first called Christians in Antioch, and that's around AD 45. Also, right at the end of this scene is Peter's arrest and then his escape from prison in Jerusalem. And at this point in the story, about 15 or so years in, Peter is going to exit from the scene. And we really don't hear from Peter again for the rest of the book of Acts. And this leads us into scene four. These are years about 46 to 49. And I'm just calling this the next major steps. And these are chapters 13 through 15. This includes the first missionary journey, everything that happened within that. After the first missionary journey, we get to the Jerusalem Council. I'm going to remind us a bit about the significance of that here in a moment. But after the Jerusalem Council, Paul is going to return back to Antioch, where he will write the first of his letters, we believe, the book of Galatians. So again, that's 46 to 49. So we're almost to AD 50. We're almost 20 years in at this point. That leads to scene five. This is about years 49 to 52, give or take a little bit. And this is where the gospel is going to reach all the way into Greece. And this is chapter 16 through 18. And of course, includes Paul's second missionary journey. And on this journey, he's going to write 1st and 2nd Thessalonians while in the city of Corinth. Now, from Corinth, Paul is going to travel all the way back to Antioch in Syria, completing the second missionary journey. And this is where we are right now in the story. And the year is right around AD 53. Okay? That is where we have been. Moving at light speed, lots of stuff there that I didn't include, right? The baptism of the Ethiopian eunuch, so many things I didn't even cover. But very, very quickly, moving through the story to AD 53. Now, looking forward through the rest of the narrative, we move into scene six. These are years 53 through 57, give or take. And friends, this is where the gospel continues to spread, but resistance is going to intensify. We see this in chapters 19 and 20. Here we have Paul's third missionary journey. And while on that journey, Paul is going to write 1 Corinthians from Ephesus. He's going to write 2 Corinthians from Macedonia. Right, that's the area of northern Greek, kind of modern-day northern Greek. That area is Macedonia. And Paul also then is going to write the book of Romans from the city of Corinth. Right, that takes us 53 to 57, chapters 19 through 20, completes the third missionary journey. Now, at this point, the nature of the book of Acts takes a turn, and Luke gets into a lot of detail. I mean, it becomes basically an action movie at this point. So scene seven, years 57 to 59, Paul is going back to Israel, specifically back to Jerusalem, where we see what happens there. So Paul arrives in Jerusalem and is almost promptly arrested at the temple. We also significantly here, it's going to be really interesting when we get to this part of the story, Paul is protected from multiple death threats and a conspiracy to kill him by the Romans. We see here God working through the Romans to protect Paul and the gospel witness. Paul then is taken to Caesarea to be put on trial before the Roman authority of that region, that part of the Roman Empire, and he's imprisoned for 2 years there in Caesarea, after which time he is in fact put on trial. And then that leads us up to the final closing scene of the book of Acts. And this is year 59 to 60, Okay, again, give or take a little bit. The last two chapters, chapters 27 and 28, and this is the last journey that Paul will take when he travels from Jerusalem to Rome. And on the way, he is shipwrecked on the island of Malta. But eventually they find another transport and they get to Rome, and we end the book of Acts, the end of chapter 28, with Paul beginning a period of 2 years under house arrest in the city of Rome. So, wow. I didn't even look at my watch. We just covered the entire book, that entire narrative, broad timeline, in just a few minutes. And friends, we're here at the end of chapter 28. We leave Paul boldly proclaiming the gospel and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. In the last sentence there that Luke will give us, he says that he's doing this with all boldness and without hindrance, even though he is under arrest by the Roman Empire there in the city of Rome. He is freely testifying to the gospel to all who will come and see him. And just a little interesting nuance here. The book of Acts ends with an exclamation point. This is what God is doing. Right? Luke writing to his friend Theophilus, whether you view that as being a literal person or as a metaphorical construct that Luke used, because Theophilus literally means lover of God. He says, listen, this is everything that has happened up to this point, and this is just the beginning. God is still at work. My friends, as he is still today. Okay, that's the framework of the story. Now, what I want to do now is just to remind us of a few key concepts as we engage, get back into this, really consider and wrestle with these stories, the scripture that we will be encountering as we go forward. Now, these are principles I walked us through when we started almost 2 years ago, so I want to go through them again because they're important as we engage this scripture. Right? We're not just reading it, we are engaging with it. So, a few key concepts. First of all, is that Acts, the book of Acts, is a time of transition, okay? From the gospel being for the Jews to the gospel moving to being for the Gentiles. That's one of the primary themes. We see geographic transition as the gospel moves and the church grows from just Jerusalem to being throughout the entire Mediterranean world, the first century Roman Empire. We see the gospel move from being primarily focused in its message on the message of forgiveness to developing into the full message of God's grace. And where we are in the story, at the beginning of the third missionary journey, Paul is definitely teaching the fully developed message of the body of Christ in relationship with Jesus through the grace of God, our union and identity with Christ, because it's on the third journey that he's going to write the book of Romans. Now, crucially, another transition that we have seen, and this is the really essential, well, they're all essential, but this is the big, big one. It's the transition from the old covenant into the new covenant. You know, we've seen Luke describe how this new movement, the church, the Christian movement, was rooted in the prophets and in the work of God through Israel, and yet it was fulfilled and given new birth to all of the world in Christ. Then we get to Acts chapter 15. Now, Acts chapter 15 is the turning point in the history of the church. As I said when we went through it, it's one of the most important and yet least taught chapters in the New Testament. Again, think transition. Here in chapter 15 is when the church was confronted with the question of whether or not all the believers should have to live under the requirements of the Mosaic law, the old covenant. In response to that, Peter said this. It says, why are we trying to test God? We're putting on the necks of the Gentiles a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors have been able to bear. No, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we, the Jewish believers, have been saved, are saved, just as the Gentiles are. And then in Acts 15:19, we see James lay down a principle, friends, that still must guide us today, when he said, we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles, for the outsiders who are turning to God. Church, we must not make it difficult for the people who are not like us, who may know nothing about the church, have nothing to do, nothing in common with Christian culture at all, but the gospel is for them, and we must not make it difficult for them to come to the Lord, to come to Christ. We saw that all the way back in Acts 15:19 in this transition from the old covenant to the new covenant. And it is as true today as it was then. So Acts is a time of transition. That's going to be really important in the scripture that we get into next week. Another big important concept is the difference between scripture that is descriptive and what is normative. The key question of descriptive versus normative. Okay. As we've moved through our story, we've examined this difference between what is just a historical description that Luke gives us of things that happened, events that happened, and then things that are beyond that, becoming principles or teachings or even specific types of events that are normative, that are prescriptive for all believers, for all of the church, for all time. Let me give you an example of what I mean. We see miracles many, many times throughout the book of Acts, and we'll continue to. In fact, some of the biggest ones that we'll get to here in about a month or so. And this is where we see God working in a specific way for a specific purpose. Now, God can work this way now, but Scripture doesn't teach us that God necessarily will work through physical supernatural acts. Right? That is descriptive of what was happening in the book of Acts, but it is not normative biblically for the church. Now, there are many teachers out there that will teach you that it will. That is a distortion of Scripture. Now, on the other hand, okay, throughout Acts, we see the consistent theme and many, many different stories of how believers experienced their faith in community. In community as a body of faith, encouraging one another, supporting one another, learning and growing together. And of course, while that community can be expressed in many different ways, this call to be a community of faith, to share our lives together, is absolutely normative for the church. In fact, it's one of the most consistent teachings that we see throughout the New Testament. Okay? Descriptive versus prescriptive, or descriptive versus normative. Big question we have to have as we go through all of these different stories. Now, just bringing this full circle here for today, a few more things. Some big themes that we see in the book of Acts and that we'll continue to see. And one is that it is God who is growing his church. God's the one growing the church. Now, you may say, Ethan, well, that just seems so obvious. But it's crucial, and it's easy to forget. You know, the personalities of this story have been large, and they have been important. Or we think of Peter, James, Barnabas, Philip, Silas, Paul, and many others. And each one of these people had a different resource and skill that they brought to the table. By the way, it wasn't just guys, right? Many, many important women that were key and essential to the story. And Luke, I've pointed this out before as we've gone through the narrative. Luke goes to greater pains than any other New Testament writer to demonstrate the significance of women, how God worked through women in the growth of the church, right? And the spread of the gospel around the Mediterranean world, okay? But my point is that the expansion of the gospel across the Mediterranean world was not dependent on any of those people. It was dependent on God. And friends, this is an important reminder for us today, because today we live in a time in Christian culture where we are borderline obsessed with our celebrity pastors and teachers, right? Our incredible resources, all of our conferences, our strategists, you name it. You know, from a human standpoint, the church today has more resources than any other time in the history of Christianity. But none of that is what God, none of that is what, let me put it this way, none of that is what will grow God's kingdom. God's kingdom, his growth, the growth of his church, God's plan is not dependent upon any of those resources, as wonderful as they may be. Rather, today, just as it was in the book of Acts, it is God. He is the prime mover. working through believers, just like you and me, as we are his disciples. You know, another big theme that we've seen and we will see, it's about to become center stage as we near the end of the story. And this is the absolute centrality of Christ and his resurrection. The centrality of the resurrection. In the final 3 years of his ministry, prior to arriving in Rome, Paul is going to have to defend his faith multiple times. And each time he does, the central issue, really the issue on trial, is going to be the resurrection. More than once, Paul will proclaim that the reason he is on trial is the hope of the resurrection. The last big theme that we've seen throughout the book of Acts, and about which I just talked, is the importance of the community of believers, right? The essential nature of all of these new believers, not just being individual followers of Christ, but part of a body, part of a community. We've seen it throughout Acts, and we're going to see it again in these closing chapters in a few really emotionally powerful scenes. Okay, friends, I want to wrap up today with this. We are about to begin our last big push through the book of Acts, and we're going to begin with a goodbye. In the late AD 50s, Paul wrote the book of Romans from the city of Corinth. We're going to cover this time period in the coming months. And as we know here at Trinity, if you remember back when we went through the book of Romans, Romans is arguably Paul's, you know, you could use the phrase his magnum opus, his great articulation of the faith. And Paul ends Romans by saying this. And this is such an appropriate thought for us as we enter into the unknown of this new year in front of us. And Paul writes, this is Romans 16, 25 through 27. Now to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery that was hidden for long ages past, but now has been revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all of the Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends, this is still what God is doing today. Just speaking pastorally, there's so much to learn here in Scripture. And I pray that you really join with me as we get in depth into these remaining stories here through the next several months. But friends, if you just, again, pastorally speaking, if you're at a place in your life that you are looking into this year in front of us with trepidation, with fear, one of the reasons that we spend time in Scripture is that we may see how God powerfully speaks to us and incredibly practically, that we are no longer slaves to fear. Listen again as I read this closing, this goodbye that Paul gives to these believers living in Rome. Right at the beginning of Nero's persecution is when when this happened. And he says, now to him who is able to establish you, right? It is God who establishes us in our life. He is our source. In accordance with the gospel, the message proclaimed about Jesus Christ, right, which is in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, right, this is continuous with what God has always been doing, but now has been revealed and made known to us, to all believers, so that, and I love this statement Paul makes, so that all the Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith. It's not just about faith. It is about the transformation of our life that comes from faith. And that being the case, come what may this year, we are able to say, just as Paul wrote on his third missionary journey, when things were starting to close in on him from a standpoint of persecution, we may say, to the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. My friends, that is a statement of courage. That is a statement of hope. And that is a confession that the story that began in AD 30, of which we can read for the following 30 years through Acts 28, that we now live in Acts 29. And this is our story as well. And I look forward to joining with you again next week as we get back into the next chapter.